Money 101 with Bob McCormick, featuring the Wall Street Journal, the news you need and the information you can use. Now, here's Bob McCormick.
All right, I'm Bob, and thank you for being with us. Getting hot. Got to get ready for the summer, and that means your house you can lose or you can save. What are you going to choose? You can get ready for the hot weather. We're going to see triple digits this weekend, if not before. There are a lot of things you can do, whether you got a home or an apartment, to make sure you don't have to pay more down the road. And so here with some of the warnings, some of the things that people don't even think about that they could do to save a money, John Wilhelm of Valley Home Inspection. Good to see you, John.
Great to be here, Bob.
Okay, let's talk first about what is the biggest problem you think of people going into the summer months they don't do?
Maintaining their air conditioning system. I see systems that are have lack of maintenance for 5 or 10 years, and that's going to slow down your airflow, your volume. Your filter needs to stay clean to give you the proper air volume. You have to make sure you're checking your ductwork every year or two up in the attic. That some ductwork has a tendency to fall apart, so you're blowing air conditioning in the attic, which obviously is a waste.
I know about that. I've been there. I've done it. Changing the filter is about you should do it before the summer, regardless, right?
It depends how much you use the system and actually how clean you keep the house. The dust from the house ends up in the filter. If your house is very clean and you're not using it very often, you can go longer.
Okay. Now, I don't have to call an AC guy for this. Now, we've had a lot of people out of the house lately, and I'm happy with the work they've been doing, but I know there's a lot of things you got to be careful of. And, for example, you got a pool. Let's assume you don't use a pool man, someone that you don't have a relationship with. You got to watch out for certain things.
Well, pool man, a lot of people don't know this, that they don't make their big money on cleaning pools. They make their money on replacing pool equipment and selling you things for your pool. A very common repair is that your pool pump, your pool man will tell you your pool pump just died. And you don't know what to do about that, except that you have to replace the pump. And that could be $500 to $800. And I've had many calls from consumers where they realize it actually was a wire that was loosened.
You mean they did something intentional?
Intentional. It's very, very uncommon that a pool pump will just die. It would start making noises or squealing or pumping slower than it normally would. But if it just dies, very suspicious. You want to get a second
opinion.
So you
should see it over time. There are symptoms, like you say, of that. All right. There are plumbing scams out there, and we all know what it's like, because you get a plumbing crisis usually on the weekend or a holiday or when, you say, oh, gosh, how am I going to get somebody out here?
One of the biggest problems with plumbing is you have different grades. The type M plumbing is a very, very cheap plumbing that you don't normally use in a quality house. And a plumber will actually go in and on a copper repipe, he'll tell you that he's putting in the highest quality plumbing, and you'll sign something, you know, acknowledging that. But when he finishes the job, he'll have you sign something that just has the letter M after the word copper, not realizing that he actually put in the cheapest possible plumbing, and you think that you
got
the
high. What does this letter M have to do with anything?
The type M copper pipes is the cheapest possible. It's legal, it's code, but it's very cheap, and it may only last 8 to 10 or 12 years if it's not installed properly. Type L is the higher quality, could be lifetime.
So you could have to repipe again in as little as a year if you don't get the right kind of piping you're talking about?
Well, if it's not installed properly.
Not installed properly. Exactly. And speaking of insulation, a lot of people have had earthquake bolting done. And, you know, it's still something that people want if they don't have it, because it's probably the cheapest kind of earthquake insurance you can get, and it's legally required, right?
Well, on a new home it is, but on an older home, you may not be up to today's standards. So a lot of people will have a retrofitter come in and add earthquake bolts or tie down plates to satisfy your insurance company. And what I see a lot is the company that comes in, obviously, you know, not a licensed contractor, will come in and they'll only put in the earthquake bolts or the tie down plates as far as you can see when you look under the house. You may have needed 50 or 80 tie down bolts or earthquake plates but they only put in five. And they'll charge you $4,000 or $5,000 for this.
No, wait a minute.
You have no idea.
John Wilhelms with us here on Money 101, a home inspector. Are you telling me that they are coming in and not doing the earthquake retrofitting that they are supposed to be doing?
They're people to do this.
They are not contractors.
They're not licensed.
You don't have to be a licensed contractor to do
You do bolt- need to be.
You do.
You do need to
okay,
be
so
contractor.
Don't hire somebody that's not. Right. Termite reports. Now, look, there's a lot of homes changing hands, as we know. The flipping, 6,000 homes got flipped so far this year. A lot of homes are now being purchased and without any kind of contingency. But still, even if you don't have contingency, you pay all cash for the property or you're selling it that way, they still have a right to a termite report, right? Isn't that required?
It's not required, but if you're paying cash for a house, nothing is required. You can just pay cash for a house and remove all your contingencies. A termite report or inspection is absolutely necessary, and you want to make sure that you're getting a complete inspection. It happens a lot in the industry where you get the report from the seller who normally pays for the termite inspection, but you don't realize that on page 7, way down at the bottom, it's telling you that the south half of the house was not accessible. They don't tell you that verbally. They just send the report. And you're getting the report thinking that it's a complete report.
So they're not saying at the up front, look, we couldn't see half of your house.
They never.
So we don't know whether there's termites there.
No, there's no reason for the seller to bring that up to you. He just gives you the report. And if you don't read it, not realizing you did not get a complete inspection.
Or have somebody, if you can't understand it, help you read it. Maybe another termite company.
Read your termite inspection report.
Okay, and understand that obviously this is the season we're starting up, and it's really easy to get those things to devalue your home. In fact, you want to know, I think you should know before you even put the house on the market what you're looking at. You don't want somebody to come back on you. Painting the house, this is the time the painters are out, time of year, right? And there's a lot of people who are soliciting business. But what are the questions you need to ask a painter about the materials they're going to use and about how they're going to prep the house? I mean, isn't that the most important thing before you hire a painter?
The preparation is the most important. You get painters that will come in and they'll just paint, top coat of paint over existing paint. That paint's probably going to peel off in a year. You're paying thousands of dollars for a paint job and your paint is gone in a year. The proper procedure is you're sanding, scraping any loose paint. You're priming, and then you're going back and patching, puttying, caulking, nail holes and cracks, things like that. Then the important part is you prime again. Then you put your finish coat on. If you don't go through that whole procedure and explain that, talk to your painter about that. If he's not willing to do that, hire a different painter.
Or if he's not, or if he doesn't know about that, you've got to understand what to ask for.
Right. He is the wrong guy.
You're saying, ask about, number one, the prep.
The prep. Also the quality of the paint.
And you
want that specified in the contract. What are you painting my house with?
And what should there be a certain period of time that they spend on? I mean, if they get this, knock this job out in a day, the chances are they're not doing the job.
You're not going to paint a whole house in a day. The other problem is with a lot of these painters will come in, they'll give you an estimate, they'll say, I'm going to be here with the guys every day. And then they go out to these paint stores and pick up guys that they don't even know and drop them off at your house. And different guys every day. You want the painter, the contractor to be there on the job painting with the guys.
You don't want no strangers hanging out there.
Nope.